Okay, we'll call the special August 5th Communications and Technology meeting to order. Item two, comments from the public. Anything at this point, Amelia?
No hands raised. Let me open up chat really quick. No chats.
All right, moving to item three, a review of the monthly website and social media.
That is me.
Yes, so ma'am.
We've had two extraordinary months in a row. The first, of course, was last month when we had in June when we had the fire hydrant incident, and then in July when we had the spike here on the 6th that you can see. This is our page views. June 24th was a higher fire hydrant, it was July 8th that I posted about the reward for the fire hydrant, and then on the 16th I posted that the case had been solved. This is our page that tells us what pages on our website are visited most frequently. How to pay my bill, yay, people want to pay. Employment opportunities, the office out of phone numbers, that's a new one. Board meetings, that's probably me. Development projects, salary schedules, quick link, security log. Pretty typical, California, our friends in Illinois, Texas. Oh, Nova Scotia. We have a new, we have new friends in Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Oregon, Ontario, maybe some people from Canada. Oh, and Shanghai. This is very telling, isn't it? Our page views are down a little bit from June, again, because we had like an 1100% increase because of the fire hydrant incident one day there. But our post reaches are up altogether. This represents the spike on the 9th when I posted about the reward. And then this is the spike on the 16th when we posted that we had caught somebody. So post engagements is way up 574%. So people are looking at Facebook and looking at our webpage because there's news. There's something engaging.
Significant details in there that you need to point out, or like you said, the other than the increases in use, and I think we all understand what those are. It looks pretty normal. The places where they originate, there's the not set. So I'm not sure what that means, but that's one of those is probably Idaho, because that would be me.
I think that we thought that we decided that had to do with the website, the IPN address or something.
Okay.
Maybe you were roaming or using.
I checked it once or twice when I had internet, and I thought it was in Idaho most of the time. That's probably where I did it. But okay, not a big deal. Anything further on this item?
That's all. Any comments, Linda?
No, I'm okay.
All right, move us up to the top.
Yeah.
Item four, update on voluntary 15% water reduction. Who's this, Tom?
Tom, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with us. I was on mute. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So basically, the governor put out a request to ask everybody in the state to do a voluntary 15% reduction in the consumption of their water. And this kind of was routed through the Regional Water Authority. They took 3 hours to talk about whether it should be 20% or 15% reduction. They ended up saying, well, let's go with the governor's suggestion that we do a 15% voluntary reduction. And then I contacted both the Country Club and the commercial areas and the RMA and said, can we all agree to state that we're asking our businesses and our residents to conserve by 15%. And so we did agree. And then Amelia put together a nice letter that kind of explained what was going on. The RMA, a lot of their water is used on landscaping. They basically have been reducing their landscaping watering a lot for over the past month or two anyway. So here at the district, we're doing our best to conserve our water, and the country club, they claim to not be watering the fairways, I mean, watering the rough. And from what I've seen, they do have some of the rough going brown. So that's a good thing. And yeah, I've seen this letter or the content of this letter on the RMA webpage. I don't know where the country club published it, but everybody's doing their part to do some conservation.
And it's on our webpage, our Facebook page. Nellie has shared it on Rancho Murrieta Thrive, and I sent it over to Gail. So I've got my fingers crossed. Maybe she'll have a spot for it in the River Valley Times.
And we have silence. Okay.
I have a couple comments.
Go ahead, Linda.
Tom.
I'm here.
Okay. So I just wanted to point out a couple of things. First of all, the comment from the Regional Water Agency that this is the worst drought since 1977. That is a lot of this stuff people, you know, don't remember. But the truth of the matter is that these are very significant observations, and the Folsom Lake levels are down currently at 27%, 27% of normal, is that correct? And natural inflows into Folsom are zero. Even for comparison, in 2015, water was still naturally flowing into Folsom. CIA ditch is dry, they're muddy. And what happens in Rancho Murrieta when we start having, and 15% isn't going to do it, but when we start having serious drought cutbacks, is our landscape in the air in this area, in the north and the south, burns up. And I don't know if anybody realizes this, but we have coastal redwoods in here instead of inland redwoods. And so coastal redwoods do very badly during droughts in this area, because they are getting no moisture at all from fog and coastal moisture. Just a few things to notice and to respond to accordingly. It's not just, you know, cutting back on your showers. You really have to cut back on what you're doing outside, but recognize and keep in mind what that's going to do to us and how that's going to affect us. And I'm still not convinced that we are going to have, I'm hoping that we have enough water to fill the reservoirs next year, but I don't see us being in a position any more than anyone else is going to be for being able to waste water, give water away, sell water, or do some of the things that have been recently suggested. So that's my comment on the 15%.
I don't know there's much more to do here,
right,
until we have a specific order versus a suggested order from the state. I'm pretty convinced that, and it's just my own personal opinion, that when we get through the recall process in September, that there will be a formal order that we do something. And I don't see that we would be exempted from that based on the fact that we do have water in our reservoirs. So until that happens, I think we just communicate the message and we just go from there. There's really not much else to do here.
to Linda's point about the redwoods, I could find something and put it on Facebook and the website and remind people to let your lawn die, but water your trees.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Because
if you're going to cut back 15%, cut back on your lawn.
And, on your lawn and not, I mean, if you want me to, I could do that, John.
Yeah, we have some experience in the 30% conservation that a lot of those redwoods became extremely stressed about 3 or 4 months ago. I actually took the Tree Foundation people in Sacramento on a tour here, and they specifically told me that at 50% conservation, those trees would die. At 30%, I think we did have some that died, but for the most part, they just went through a rather significant period of stress. So yeah, I think that might be a good suggestion that, you know, yeah, if you're going to sacrifice your grass, you want to make sure that your trees that are watered at the same time are at least being taken care of.
And I did have that message in the pipeline. That your lawn, you know, your lawn will come back, but be sure and give your trees a good drink.
Okay.
So I'll continue that on the website and Facebook. Yeah, because we don't want to lose our trees.
No.
Thanks for that information too, John, from the Tree Foundation.
There and you know, I spent 3 weeks up until yesterday morning, matter of fact, in Idaho and Montana, and it's brutal up there. I mean, it's, you know, when you look at it from afar, it appears that there's water, but those rivers, even up there, are running really, really low comparatively to where they are. And, you know, we went 3,000 miles, and from the time we left until the time we get home, I mean, the whole place is burning down. I mean, there are fires everywhere, just everywhere, and you never get away from the smoke. So I think that's just as much a message, and that may be more RMA's issue than ours specifically, but I mean, fire is just an ever-present way of life now. There is no fire season. It just never stops. So anything more here?
Not on this specifically, no.
Okay. Amelia?
No hands, no chats.
Okay. Back to the top.
Okay.
Update on reservoir information.
Reservoir Information and Education Committee, Linda?
That's the ad hoc committee that is, let me just put it this way. It has not gone away, but we have had a number of problems and issues that we need to address. And one was the loss of Paul, who was basically our source of information and, you know, a huge help to us. And so I'm looking forward to a new and reworked committee with the hiring of our new water operations manager. And it is my hope that we will be able to restart this committee with additional focus on the following, in addition to education and information, although I guess in some ways this could come under that heading. The use of our reservoirs. The use and abuse of our reservoirs by residents and guests, it seems like it has exploded. Now, I know it's not happening every day, but body contact in our reservoirs between, and Calero and Chesbro, between dogs and people has increased, of course. We have had things, these incidences, with a porta potty dragged in, a truck in the mud, fire hydrant ripped off its foundation, general vehicle abuse. And last week, we had a woman jump off of a hot air balloon into Lake Calero on Saturday. The balloon company is denying it, but it did happen. People saw it. We have a couple pictures. this is ridiculous from my perspective. And since we have issues around having water conservation and paying attention to our use of water, we ought to also be paying attention to our abuse of water. And so I'm looking forward to getting this committee going again as soon as we have our new water manager. And I think he's going to be very helpful. So if we have other people who would like to do some volunteering on that committee, I think, Paula, you suggested that you would come aboard. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Tom, how do you, can we add more people to that committee if we need to, right?
If you need staff support, and we'll find a way to make staff have time.
Okay, that's great. I really would appreciate that. So that's about what I have to say about that. I just, I continue to be blown away, I guess is the only term I can think of, at how simple it is to me to understand that we can't do this to our reservoirs. They're not a recreation area. Hopefully we can do something about Clementia and make that a bit more appealing for recreation, but Calero and Chesboro are definitely off limits from my observation for anything but very low key fishing. So that's it. That's my update.
Any further comments? Anything, Amelia?
No hands, no chats.
I don't know. I don't know how I missed the balloon deal, but I was. I must have been way far away, I'll tell you.
People who lived on Puerto Sot and, at least one person and a couple of other people have seen the balloon flying quite low in the last few days out there. So Tom is going to put together an informational letter for the balloon company. Is that a good way to put it, Tom?
Yeah, I'm going to write them a letter and let them know they got to knock it off. And the next time it happens, that we're going to send them a fine. We're going to fine them.
Okay. Okay.
I might even fine them this time and let them protest or something like that. I don't know. I just got a lot of stuff floating around right now, but hopefully next week I can get some of this stuff done. We got to do the same thing for the fire hydrant hit and run. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to close that up early next week. Now that we've done our final payroll.
Good.
There's one thing that was interesting to me over the last 3 weeks. And I talked a little bit to Mark Pekatich and some of the trail people that it to some degree is taking off in not taking off like balloons, but starting in Rancho Murrieta is all of these bike trails and everything that I rode on through the Coeur d'Alene and the Hiawatha and which are really big in the West, the Northwest, is the prevalence of e-bikes. And I mean, real prevalence. I mean, they're everywhere. And as that takes on more popularity here, and it's going to, it poses more of those kind of problems that surround our reservoirs as they relate to trails and the use of faster moving vehicles, and the potential of accidents and fire. So it's I know it's more of an RMA issue, but it may well become an issue for us as well. The things move. You know, it is not like riding a bicycle, and the minute they become ungoverned, like the golf carts do, they move extremely fast, and they're startling. I mean, I haven't been around them that much, but I ride a lot, and I saw a lot of it up north. I mean, just so it is what it is, and like I said, it's probably more of an RMA issue, but it may touch on us in the future. So
anything that affects the reservoirs in any way.
So are we pretty well through that? Do we move on to item six? Sure. Amelia?
Yes, we're ready. Thank you.
Okay. Any other staff comments? Tom, anything?
I've got nothing.
All right. Linda?
No, I'm okay.
Just all right. So that concludes like 5 hours of meetings, and we can adjourn. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for joining us, everyone.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.